Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Pianist Alexandra Strelitsky's last album, Inscape, went double platinum in her native Canada, and it won a Juno Award, the Canadian equivalent of the Grammys. Her music has been used in TV series like Big Little Lies and Sharp Objects, and her new album is called Neo-Romance, a collection of lyrical minimalist works for piano and occasional other instruments. It brings Alexandra Strelitsky to our studio and to our piano, and she's going to start us off with her piece called The Hills.
Thank you.
That's called The Hills. Alexandra Streliski at our piano. Alexandra, it's nice to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. So nice to be here.
On the record, Neo-Romance, that's actually two tracks. The slow,
yes.
Spare opening is called
In the air. Yeah, correct.
And then the more arpeggiated part is The Hills proper. So
yes.
Did it start that way?
No, it didn't start that way. It was actually one song in the beginning. And then I always like to make albums that are a whole, you know? And so I like the idea of having little intermezzos. And so I created In the Air as one little idea on its own that would then build up into The Hills, and then it concludes the song. I like the perspective that it gave.
Well, it's also nice, you know, to hear a familiar theme that
exactly.
You've heard earlier, and it's brought back.
Yeah,
in a slightly
it's a bit. I always like to think as my albums as soundtracks a little bit, so it's kind of, you know, like a leitmotif of the theme that comes back and such. So
yeah,
just follows.
And so, how is it when you actually do hear your music used as a soundtrack in a TV series?
Yeah, that's always great. I mean, the first time it happened was in Dallas Buyers Club.
The film,
my song Prelude on my first record. I was quite young. That was 13 years ago already. And that was very, very impressive for me, because also I always wanted to score for films. So just to see it, and it's at the end of the film. It's a gorgeous film by a great director called Jean-Marc Vallée. I don't know if you know him, but he's also from Quebec, where I'm from. And we were good friends. He passed away, sadly, last year.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. And
He did
Dallas Buyers Club, Big Little Lies.
Big Little Lies,
Demolition,
yes.
Sharp Objects, many of the series you mentioned. And yeah, it's always very nice. I mean, I like to think that my music evokes images for people who listen. Hopefully
yeah.
It does. And when it's a director, and then I actually get to see the images that were evoked and their imaginary world. So it's always very, very, very beautiful and
yeah.
Interesting.
Let me ask you about the title, Neo-Romance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this whole kind of neoclassical thing going on, especially in Europe, where it's been pretty well established.
At least 15 years.
Yeah, you
or
think
so.
Of people like Nils Fromm in Germany, Olafur
mm-hmm.
Arnolds in
yeah.
Iceland, Hanya Rani in
Poland.
Yeah,
there's a big Icelandic wave there,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, so classical, if we're going to get musicological
yeah,
about
let's get
it,
nerdy.
It's like, you know, that's like late Mozart, Beethoven, early Schubert. Once you get into like late Beethoven, late Schubert, now you're into the Romantic period,
yeah.
The Chopin and the
yeah.
Schumann. And
mm-hmm.
So neo-romance, are you really kind of calling back to the Chopins and the Schuberts and the Franz Liszts of the world?
Well, I'm calling back. I think I feel closer to them in general. Since I'm six, I play Chopin. I lived with his music in the house. With Liszt, Schubert, late Schubert, as you said. And I liked the idea also of the romantic themes. I mean, they're driven by emotion. They were proposing something more in the imagination, in the imaginary world, you know, clashing with the rationalism of the times.
Mm.
And I like that idea. And I very much identify with that. I like to evoke images. I'm definitely driven by emotion. As a composer, there's nothing else really interests me. So neoclassicism, if you take the actual term, means going back to order, going back to structure, to form, and that is very far from what I feel like doing and what I feel like
yeah.
I do.
Yeah. It's also a problematic term because in classical music there already
it
was.
It already exists.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, I think it's nice to have, I mean, for nerds like us to have this conversation. I'm sure for many people it doesn't matter at all. And but what I, you know, the thing that also, because I never really cared about classifying music. It's
yeah,
not really
yeah.
something that I think is important. I think it's nice if the music resonates with people. But I liked the idea of the romantic themes in today's world.
Well, neo-romance literally means new romance.
Yes.
And there is a piece on the record
yes.
called A New Romance,
mm-hmm.
a kind of waltzing
yeah.
little piece.
It's just a very cute piece. That one is actually literally my own love song, because it's neo-romance also because I wrote the record in a new love. I moved to Europe part-time, but I spent a lot of time there during the pandemic because the borders were closed. I live in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam. And I fell in love on tour. Super cliche story, except that I fell in love with a Brazilian girl who lives in Rotterdam, which is not so much of a cliche story. But so I wrote the record in that kind of mindset. And you know, there are also very sad songs on the record, and I like the idea of exploring the kind of mindset that you're in when you've lived something before, you've had a heartbreak, you've had something tough in your life, and being in this new romance, in this fragile kind of state of, okay, I'm gonna go for it again. I'm gonna reopen my heart. I'm gonna keep my heart open. And that's truly what the record is about.
One other kind of irony of the title, Neo-Romance, is I hear echoes of Erik Satie in some of the pieces.
Sure.
Who, for folks who don't know, well, most people know his Gymnopédies. They're pretty famous. Yeah. He's very simple. He was kind of reacting to what he saw as the over-lush, over-romanticized, over-emotional music of the Romantics.
I think it's a balance, you know? Like, I think people try to balance each other out all the time, and artists maybe are the first to do that, where sometimes it goes too much there, and we're like, let's bring it back. It ends up, we're modern classical composers, if you want to call us like that. I think we're influenced by all of these movements. I think philosophically is where I kind of resonated with the Romantics, and I wanted to explore that.
Right. Mm-hmm. What about the minimalists, especially people like Michael Nyman and Philip Glass? Mm-hmm.
Definitely influenced by that. I listen to lots of music in my life. Nowadays, I listen to sounds of birds because I'm always traveling and I need some calm. And I don't listen. When I'm creating, I try to kind of keep it clean of sound. But I had phases where I was listening to heavy metal and to trance, psytrance, and also lots of soundtracks, lots of pop music, very mainstream, and I kind of like traveled with all of that, and I think you can, you know, all of these things influence me in some way.
Well, the piece you're going to do next, The Breach, you know, for me has echoes of that kind of minimalist aesthetic.
Sure, yeah. It's also, I find there's something kind of like, you know, could be a hip-hop remix of that song.
Yeah, why not? I mean, repetition is such an important part of both.
Yeah, it's a riff, really, is
what
it is.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You want to play it for us?
Sure.
Alexandra Strelitzky is my guest. The new album is called Neo-Romance. She'll be back here in New York to play at National Sawdust at the end of May, May 27th. But right now, she's at Our Piano. Here she is playing The Breach.
Thank you.
Alexandra Strelitzky with The Breach from the new record Neo-Romance, live performance at Our Piano. And you were saying before, you know, we were talking about neoclassical composers, and you said, well, people refer to us as modern classical composers. When we say that word composer, we think of somebody writing every note down on a staff. Are there written scores for each of these pieces?
Now there are, yeah. Excuse me. But in the beginning, no, not really. I don't really work with writing music unless I have to. If I'm composing, like, for instance, there are string trio on the record.
Right.
There, obviously, you have to write some sheet music. But I always kind of, it starts with improvisation. I sit down at the piano 10 minutes. I get a burst of something. I go and I cook something at the stove and I come back and it's going to continue. And then I can let it go for months. And it kind of develops through time like that. And I think I like the idea of like, oh, what do I remember about what I was playing? What's the thing that was remaining with me? And yeah, that's just how I work. Actually, I read pretty badly the notes. I forced myself. I went through classical training
right.
for years and years. I went to university. I studied counterpoint very, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did all of the stuff you need to do to learn, but my memory and my ear just always went faster than my brain in that sense.
I'm thinking that there are many people who, you know, I read some of the comments on some of the videos that you've posted, and people are like so in love with this music. And I think, well, many of these people probably have pianos in their own homes.
Yeah.
And if there's a way they can actually play these pieces themselves.
I think that's really a great part of democratizing classical music, if you want to say it that way. I also do these tutorials for people who don't read the notes as well, and maybe younger generations that kind of learn on YouTube.
Right.
I think that's part of the whole process. I get a lot of messages from people who said, I haven't played the piano I used to play when I was a kid and haven't played for 25 years, and you inspired me to play again. And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the instrument is, I mean, it's just, along with the steam engine, it was one of the high points of Western technology in the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still got, obviously, a lot to say. But there are times on the record where the piano isn't enough. You mentioned there's a string trio. That's on Elegie, right?
There's on Elegie. There's Ouverture, which is a string solo song.
Which is just strings, yeah.
Just strings and an organ. There's also an actual church organ in there, but it's very minimalistically put in there. And I wanted to have a few more instruments also, because when I was spending all this time in Rotterdam, I went back kind of my ancestor track. And actually, turns out I have a lot of Jewish musical. I always say that Jewish musician ancestry, and lots of them were violinists, were conductors, and that was actually quite new to me. So it made me feel okay. Maybe I'm actually part of something, you know, more collective than I thought. I thought I was the only musician in my family. So it was quite something, and I was investigating all of that. I went to their house in Amsterdam, looked where they lived. I was kind of inspired by this whole story. And there is that in Neo-Romance album, and the strings, I think, are part of that. And as well, I wanted to push the imagery a bit further, and I think it gives, you know, this cinematic sound that we're very familiar with, and I wanted to explore that a little.
In the piece called Dans le Bois, In the Woods, there's something else going on at the beginning. Is that, I mean, what is that?
You mean the sound?
The electronics.
Those are not electronics. Those are actually strings.
That's why I was trying to be careful in how I phrased the question. Yeah. It didn't quite sound electric, but it sounds processed.
Yeah, it's not processed at all. Actually, this is exactly the sound they were making. We recorded in Paris. We had one session with them, and it's just this harmonic texture. I mean, maybe we helped the legato on it a little bit, but it's the sound that comes out of their instruments, which is gorgeous. And I like to work in the studio with the musicians as well, have them improvise a little bit and see what comes out. You know, as a composer, you need to remain open to whatever spontaneously is going to happen.
So a lot of these pieces do come to you through the act of improvising.
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
At what point do you know they're finished, or are they ever finished? Is it the same every time you play it?
I think once you record, you kind of fixate them in a certain structure, and then you go live, and then once I'm going to go on stage, I'm sure it's going to still continue to evolve. I don't think it's ever finished, but you do have, at one point, you need to go. You have a deadline, you have a studio session, and you need to fixate on something, and then that's how it's going to live for now, until there's a stage, and then it continues to evolve, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So have you found over the years that some of the, like the pianoscapes and the InScape pieces, that those have changed?
Oh, totally. I would never play a pianoscope song the same way. I would get bored, I think, a little bit. No, you mature also as a composer, as an artist. You know, you don't see your old stuff the same. But I still think it's a great record. I can hear where, as a composer, I've evolved.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So the piece you're going to do next is called Borders, and natural imagery recurs in a lot of the titles. Mm. You know, in the air, hills, even the breach. You know, which can be. That can be both a geographic term and a kind of metaphorical.
I think it's a metaphorical one, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the saying by Leonard Cohen, there's a crack in everything, that's how the light
that's
gets
how
in.
The light gets
that's
in.
The breach for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Borders, that's a tough word these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Borders was, I wrote it in a specific context where I was both in this new romance that was lovely and a very secure kind of space, very creative as well, because I was writing a lot. And at the same time, I'm in a binational relationship. And during the pandemic, everything closed off.
Right.
And I really felt the difference, you know, between my partner, who's Brazilian, and me, who has a Canadian and a French passport. I had way more rights. And I think that really struck me, something that obviously I knew, but I come from a more privileged position, and I'm quite aware of it. And it was, yeah, it was problematic, and it was a bit difficult to see how, you know, we have these rights, we have this comfort, and it can actually just go away quite easily if the government, or if there's a crisis that makes it happen. And so it's a bit of all of that, this harmony and this context. And then the piece is actually quite hopeful, quite light. And so I wanted to make it kind of a wish for unity. And because borders are actually quite a weird concept, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Why would certain human beings be allowed to stay in one piece of land more than others? And I thought in context, I just wanted to make it about, yeah, peace.
All right, let's hear another live performance. My guest is Alexandra Strelitzky. Her new album is called Neo Romance, as she says. Let's hear this piece called Borders. Once again, Alexandra Streliski playing a piece for us called Borders, an interesting concept for a musician who is both a French and a Canadian citizen.
Yes.
Living with a Brazilian partner in the Netherlands.
Yes, with Polish and Russian Jewish roots. Yeah.
Which you there discovered you in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Which I guess the family had moved there at some point.
Yeah, well, we're Ashkenazi Jews, who moved.
Eastern European,
Eastern European, wherever they could be safe.
Right.
You know, so right. They went towards the Netherlands and then towards France.
Yeah.
Where my dad was born.
So is the Netherlands now home for you?
It's part home. My home is a very relative concept at the moment. My suitcase is a bit of my home, I would say, and whichever piano is around, which is this one today. But I have two. Yeah, I move around a lot. I do have two homes, one in Montreal and one in Rotterdam. But I've grown to love the Netherlands, yeah.
Well, the tour will bring you back to New York, National Sawdust in Brooklyn on May 27th. The album Neo Romance is out now. Alexandra Streliski, thank you so much for coming in and playing
for us
today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely.
And thanks to our hardworking crew, our technical director Irene Trudell, our producer Karen Havlick, Joe Enright shot our videos today. Eric Weber is our video editor. I'm John Schaefer. You can keep up with what we're doing by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Just text NEWSOUNDS to 70101.